Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode. We spend a lot of time talking about how important it is to take care of your mental health. Therapy is an excellent way to do that. BetterHelp is an affordable mental health care option that fits right into your busy schedule. Just answer a few quick questions about your needs and preferences, and BetterHelp will match you with one of the thousands of experienced mental health professionals in their network. You can talk to your therapist over text, chat, phone, or video. You get to pick what works best for you, your comfort, and your schedule. If you feel like your therapist isn't the right fit, BetterHelp makes it easy to switch to someone new at no additional cost. So give it a try and see why over 2 million people have used BetterHelp online therapy. BetterHelp is offering our listeners 10% off their first month of therapy. Just go to betterhelp.com/musicspeaks to get started. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/musicspeaks to get 10% off your first month of therapy.
Like so many of you, we battle depression during life's many ups and downs.
Music has always been there to help us through the tough times that we all face.
Follow us on our journey as we discuss the healing power of music.
Interview artists and bands.
Break down genres and music news.
Review artist biographies.
And much, much more.
You're listening to the Windward Fail Music Speaks Podcast.
Hey everybody, welcome back to When Words Fail Music Speaks Podcast, where we fight depression with the prayer of music. I almost got fumbled there, but that's okay. We're here with my good friend, Michael Cagle. I hope I say that last name right.
Yes, perfect.
Sometimes I get it wrong, you know, but it's okay. We're all friends here, you know. So let me tell you that at first. He is a national recording artist with Universal/Virgin Records. He was Entertainer of the Year 6 times, so that was very good. And I think now he lives in Seattle, Washington, if I'm correct.
Correct.
Correct. Okay. Yep. Yeah, because I know you lived in Nashville for a time, correct?
I did. I spent about 2 years, actually, in Nashville. Okay. After I moved to Las Vegas in 2001 and stayed there for 11 years. And then the opportunity came to move to Nashville. And so I did that for 2 years. And then I love the city. I loved Nashville. I absolutely loved it as a city. Yeah. I kind of missed the coast because I'm a coast person. I was born in New York, and I really missed the coast. And we had family over here in Washington State, so we decided to give Seattle a shot. So we've been here since about 2013.
Yeah. Nice. Oh, okay, so you've been there a while, you know. Yeah.
Yeah, 12 years. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
I know, right?
It's time like flies.
It does. What? Yeah, and this year's almost over. It's like the sixth month now, right? Yeah, so we're halfway done with this year, you know. I can't believe it.
It's amazing.
It's weird.
It yeah. flies. Yeah. Yeah.
But when I was researching you, I found out that you were entertainment director for a major downtown property in Nashville. Is that correct?
Yes. Okay. I was the entertainment director for I'm going to get in trouble. I think it was because it was 12 years ago, the Best Western on Broadway.
Okay.
They had a little showroom and also a kind of like a lounge area at their opening, you know, when people sign in. And so I booked entertainment for both of those spots.
Right, yeah. How did that role differ from you being on stage, and what insights did it give you on the business side of the music industry?
The bulk of what I've done has always been performance, and because of that, I ended up helping do different kinds of festivals and rallies and, you know, that kind of thing. So I was kind of already had my feet wet with, you know, putting together time slots and everything like that. So it was actually quite easy. I performed 3 times a week at the venue, and then I filled up the entertainment the other 4 days with people, you know, audition them and all that. But it was really cool. It was a really good opportunity to like you said, dust off some of the skills that I had done previously in putting together itineraries and show orders and so. And I then, you know, I got to sing and perform, and it was a blast. You know, it's when you're in a place like that, you always have a brand new audience, you know, because obviously it's all tourists that are coming through there. And so your show is always feels fresh because they've never seen it before.
Right. Yeah. Well, and forgive me because I don't remember. How long have you been performing now?
Wow. I started in the late 80s.
Okay. Yeah.
So, the late 80s. And then I started doing what they called a fair circuit, which is I would go from fair to fair, and they basically hired me to like open for artists. So, you know, Reba McEntire, Michael McDonald,
Patti LaBelle. Yeah, because I see you and Patti on your website. BalladBelter.com for anybody who wants to know.
BalladBelter.com, correct.
And you said that Reba, you actually got to meet all these people like Reba and Patti LaBelle too, right?
Oh,
nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah. Because I saw Reba said, wow, you got some kind of voice on you. And Patti LaBelle said, oh, honey, you can really, really, really sing.
Oh, yes. So, when you get a comp, you know, it's so crazy because it's those little moments that, believe it or not, stick with you the most.
Yes.
Like, you can win an award or get an accolade or something, but it's like, and those are amazing, don't get me wrong, but it's the little things that you don't expect that surprise you. And for, you know, Patti LaBelle to lean over and tell me that after I've, you know, sang is just amazing. Like, it's a memory that's like mine that I'll never be able to, you know, I won't get rid of. It's with me forever. So it is amazing.
Yeah. I love you now more than ever because I see your little trick or treat all right behind you.
Oh,
yeah.
Are you a fan of Sam?
I love that movie. Yes. Yeah, that's probably my favorite movie ever. Horror movie besides Friday the 13th, you know.
Okay. I love scary movies anyway.
Right.
But
yeah.
I just loved the Hulk. I thought that movie was Trick or Treat.
Yeah.
Was so brilliantly laid together. It was such a great story. It wasn't just like one vignette after one vignette. It all intertwined. And I really loved the character of Sam. I thought he was really cool. And then, you know, you can buy the comic books and everything and get into the lore about it. But I'm a geek anyway, so... when I go to the horror conventions, I dress as Sam.
Oh, nice.
The whole outfit with the lollipop and the bag. And it's a blast. It's really, really cool.
So on your website, also, I think I saw you dress as the Mad Hatter one time.
Right? I have done the Mad Hatter.
Yes. Yeah, that was awesome.
I have done the Mad Hatter. I'm a big Doctor Who fan.
Yes, okay.
So I have several Doctor Who outfits, and, you know, I have Harry Potter.
You're right, yeah. I guess Harry Potter is like the famous, you know, the most famous, you know, megastar under, you know, I don't know who's bigger right now. Maybe the Lord of the Rings movies, I guess, you know, would be far on.
You know, Lord, it's so weird because... To me, they all kind of intertwine. You know, you got your Star Wars fans. Yeah. You know, the Star Wars universe seems to go. And now all of a sudden there's, you know, the MCU with Marvel. Yeah. And But yeah, Harry Potter, I would probably say Harry Potter is has to be in the top three.
Gotta be.
When I went down to Florida, to Universal Florida, it was like walking into Hogsworth. Everybody was in robes and
switching the wands and everything.
Their wands and everything. I'm like, this is so cool.
Right, For anybody listening, I'm sorry I had to go for that tangent, you know, because I saw the same puppet right behind him. So, audio people, sorry about that, you know. So, we're going back to music right now. Yes, but it's the little things in life that just set apart everything else, you know, especially Reba. And I want to ask you something, and I think I know your answer, but I don't want to talk for you, you know. Who do you think is the queen of country now, then, and forever?
Queen of country?
Queen of country, yes, sir. I'm going to say Reba. It's got to be Reba for me.
I would have to say that, you know, it's a toss up between either Reba or Dolly.
True. Fair. Yes. Very, very fair.
Just because the longevity, the song, you know, it's not just their incredible career. It's the songwriting, it's their, you know, their ability to stay honest with who they are, but still adapt, you know, to changing, you know, Dolly just put out that rock album.
Yes.
Where
yes,
she
that's amazing.
With
yeah.
all the, and it was phenomenal.
Yes. Yes.
But I mean that you have to have such a great sense of who you are as an artist and who your audience is, and then figure out how to, you know, market something and record something like that. I would say those two probably would be my pick for the queens of country.
Yeah,
there's quite a few princesses, but only a few queens.
Princesses would have to be one of them would have to be Shania Twain, you know. And then you got like Sarah Evans, and then
I loved Martina McBride.
Oh yes, yes, yeah. Forgot.
You know, I listen to her and think, wow, you know, she's just such a great storyteller, and then she backs it up with outstanding vocals. Mm-hmm. Like I think she, regardless of whether it's country or not, I think her voice stands up, kind of like Carrie Underwood. Her voice stands up against any genre. Like I would put Carrie's vocals and Martina's vocals up against anybody? Even in pop, just because of the clarity and the range and their ability to really bring a lyric together is amazing to me. But I did like Sarah Evans.
Sarah Evans has, yes, she is a powerful singer, and she does some good stuff still, you know.
But, Trisha Yearwood, who that I shared the stage with as well, really underrated.
Yeah.
Really underrated. Yeah. I mean, she's really a great singer. And I just, you know, is this weird what, you know, it's almost when you're in the music business, you have to be at the right place at the right time. And then all of a sudden things just take off. And, you know, I'm a big fan of Leanne Rimes, too. I think Leanne Rimes is an amazing talent.
Right.
So there's definitely a lot of amazing female singers in country music. Amazing.
Who do you think is the king of country? And to me, there's only one guy.
Huh?
To me, there's only one dude.
George Strait?
Yes!
I figured. You're traditional. You know, you're traditional, you know, obviously traditional country.
Right.
George Strait is just brilliant.
Yes, you he's got to be there.
You know, when you see his show, he doesn't do a lot. There's not a lot there, but it's him with a guitar, and he's just able to hold an audience once again, with great storytelling, with a solid voice. You know, his lyrics are incredible. And people are just, like, drawn to that, you know. I love Vince Gill.
Fair, yes. Yeah, fair enough, yeah.
You know,
yeah, because he's with the Eagles right now, you know, performing live with them. Yeah, it's a great guy.
Vince Gill, as far as being a solid showman, Garth Brooks, to me, is outstanding. I loved Kenny Chesney. I don't know what happened to him. Like, he fell off the face of the earth.
I haven't heard nothing from him, which is weird, you know, because he was so great, too.
Because,
you know?
And great, but just, and put on an amazing show. Amazing show, you know. Yeah. So, I guess King of Country, I would, even though I don't listen to a lot of country, in all honesty, I am smart enough to know that it would probably have to be George Strait.
Yeah. I think that's a very fair statement that anybody will agree with.
Yeah.
But going off of genres now, I noticed that you are labeled as vocal. Let's see here. On Apple Music, you're classified as adult contemporary pop and then vocal. Do you have any kind of, do you lean towards one genre as opposed to me?
You know, I would have to say, in all honesty, that I'm definitely an adult contemporary artist. I'm not hip hop enough to be pop.
Right. Yeah.
But I have a lot of pop influence. The vocal, I think the vocal came from that, like, I spent a lot of time in school doing vocal training in both music theater and classical, as well as jazz and pop. So I'm really eclectic musically. Okay. And I think the term vocal depends on the song that I'm singing. If it's something like You Raise Me Up, then it's obviously a little bit more classical sounding, so therefore that's vocal.
Right. So I do want to talk to you about that song. Okay, so for me, my favorite genre is always going to be country, okay?
Okay.
But my second favorite is Christian music, and that's where You Raise Me Up falls in. I don't know if you want to
get
that, you know? But when I listen to that song, your voice is so powerful in that song. I had to just stop and stop everything I was doing and just take it in, you know.
And I really appreciate that.
And I think that is very rare for me to do, you know, because I'm always doing something, you know, listening to music. But that song just took me from here.
And I really appreciate that. And it's funny because I spent a good chunk of my developing years and my first bit of performing doing contemporary Christian music.
Right.
I loved it. And being able to weave different vocal styles with the same message really meant a lot. Because even to this day, contemporary Christian music is really, really an important part of who I am.
Yeah.
And so I would have to say that it's in all honesty, it's probably my third favorite genre to listen to. And so I try to bring all of that in to my songs. I don't try to make them, if I'm doing something that's quote vocal, I don't try to overdo the classical sound because I am more of a pop style singer. So even my version of You Raise Me Up is traditional, but it's contemporary traditional, if that makes any sense. So
yeah.
I'm really glad you caught on that. That makes me feel good.
Oh, nice. Well, I mean, anybody who can sing that song, especially that song, just like, yeah. So
I really appreciate that.
Yeah. So speaking of you're classified as vocal, you are labeled as a tenor, am I correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I'm labeled as a bass, but I can't sing worth a damn, okay? I can't sing nothing, right? All I can sing is in the shower, you know, right in the car.
No!
Where nobody can hear me, you know? And that's fine, you know, I'm not classically trained like you. But could you explain to me, okay, so you're the first person who I'm asking about this. Could you explain to me the hierarchy of, like, is tenor the middle area, and then, you know?
Okay, for guys, it goes from low to high. It goes bass, baritone, and then tenor. And then if your range sounds a little bit more lyrical, then you can get into countertenor, which is higher than a tenor.
Okay.
But it's their voice is very light.
Right.
I am considered a really strong second, or what they call lead tenor, because I can go all the way up to where a first tenor sings, and then my head voice and falsetto goes where a soprano could go.
Right.
So, okay. Like if I'm sitting at a piano, my range is just about 4.5 octaves. So I can go to, you know, for music geeks, I can go to a D2 and then go all the way up to like an A flat 6.
Oh, wow. That's a lot.
So
yeah.
So, but my primary range is definitely what they would consider lead to first tenor.
Okay. So I guess alto and soprano is more like the female side?
The women.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay,
that's more of a, yeah.
Okay.
Because you have altos, contraltos, mezzo-sopranos, and then sopranos, and then where I was talking about counter-tenors, coloratura sopranos are the ones that do, like, whistle tones and...
Oh, like Mariah Carey.
Way up there. Yeah, okay. Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay. I don't think I've anybody heard the highest voice rather than Mariah. I mean, she's great, you know.
I'm going to tell you, he's obviously not country, but if you want to hear somebody with just, I personally, that I think has the best voice I've ever heard in my entire life, there's a Russian singer named Dimash.
Okay.
D-I-M-A-S-H. What he does with his voice is unbelievable. Like, he can go literally as low and as rich, and then straight up into the stratosphere.
You're right.
Like, Mariah Carey. He's got to be at least 6 octaves.
Right.
At least.
6.
At least.
And you're what, like 4? 4 octaves?
I'm 4.5.
Oh, wow. And he can go higher. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. I never hit those notes. Yeah. My voice is just too heavy.
Okay.
You know, I have a real, you know, the thing about, which kind of makes my voice a little weird, is that I have a really heavy voice. Mm-hmm. So for me to get high, unless I'm doing falsetto, I bring a lot of chest voice up. So for me, I can hit like right around a C5, D flat 5 in chest.
Okay.
Which is like what Michael Bolton used to do.
Okay, yeah.
So it's just like, you know.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But as far as having, you know, where was I going? As far as being kind of like really lyrical, that's not my thing.
Yeah.
It's a lot more. I generate and perform with, I guess, more power than lyrical.
Right.
If that, yeah.
Speaking of still on the voice, you know, I just want to know if you've tried this at all or see if it works. Now, I'm sure you've heard of Judy Rodman. You know, she was an old country artist way back when. She told I've had her on the show before, and she told me that the best thing you can do for your voice is drink pineapple juice. Have you heard of that? Tried that at all?
Pineapple juice and or apple juice.
Right. Okay. Okay. So it does work. Okay.
Yep.
Perfect.
Yeah. It has more to do with what it does to your to your vocal cords, how it coats them.
Right.
You know, because basically in the art of singing, your vocal folds have to go in and out like that. But eventually they get tired and they start rubbing together, which is why you get like nodes and that kind of thing. Yeah. The apple juice for me works the best because it coats them so that there is no friction. And the less friction you have, the cleaner the sound. And okay. The more, and so, but pineapple juice, I've heard of it. I've never tried it.
Okay.
Basically because...
Well, see, she says get the Dole cans, you know, okay. the Dole. It's just like a can, regular can, and right. You just drink that, whatever. Yeah, so, I mean, if you're out one day and just...
I might try that. You know, yeah. One thing you learn about being in the business and pursuing something you love, you never stop learning.
Yeah.
You know, you never stop learning a new trick or anything else. So, I'll definitely try it.
Nice. So, I want to talk about your song "I Rise," and that's a great yes. song too. And I just want to know where you came up with this and how did it come together. And I'm going to ask you something else that also deals with that song.
You what now? I didn't get the last part.
I'm also going to ask you something else that deals with that song.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, "I Rise" came to me. I don't know how political I can be. I'm not really happy where we're at.
Okay.
As a country, and I'm not trying to turn off any listeners or anything like that, but I see. I see the everyday person, the working person, the minority, you know, the minorities, a lot of people being marginalized.
Okay.
And I'm part of that group. I don't wear a shirt that says I'm gay, but I am.
Okay.
You know, and so I have in my own life experienced what is happening in this country bigotry wise and I sat down and this song literally came to me. I've never had this happen before, but it came to me in about 20 minutes and it was finished in 40.
That's
bam.
Yeah.
I wrote what I wanted to say, how I wanted to say it, and I knew I wanted to kind of make an anthem that not only the LGBTQ audience could get behind or get excited about, but anybody that feels like they've been left behind or marginalized or, you know, or forgotten, that's who I kind of wrote the song for. And I knew that I wanted it released in June because of Pride Month. But it was more than just that. It was, you know, women's rights were taken away in June 3 years ago, you know, with the Roe v. Wade decision.
Yes.
So a lot happened in June. And I said, I want to write a song that anybody that feels like they're being ignored and marginalized, that they had an anthem that they could sing. And so that's kind of precipice behind the song is that I knew it wasn't going to be like a big pop song, but I knew it was going to be an anthem. Right. I knew that I wanted to write something where people could say, enough is enough. I'm standing up.
Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. The question I have for you also about that song is I was on your Facebook right before we came on. And we don't have to throw any names out there, right? So a certain parade, I guess, wanted you to come but they wanted you to come on your own dime, right?
Yeah.
But, okay, so let me, okay. So I also read that you said that it costs about $2,800 before you even get to the microphone, correct?
No, okay, I was gonna say, you know, it was, you know, a lot of people think that, and it's just kind of weird.
Yeah.
Because a lot of singers just rely on their vocal abilities, you know, especially, you know, when you're doing a fair or a festival, you're not going to have big production, big lights, and you know, you can have nice clothes and everything. But I think they think that a singer just, the music comes from, you know, a mysterious, you know, disco in the sky. So, you know, they don't think that you've spent money making that music or buying that music.
Yeah.
You know, and the $2,800, that's how much my mic cost. My microphone alone. My microphone alone that I use is a Shure. You know, and I run, you know, a top of the line Shure that, you know, I can take it in any country, in any, okay. It's a Beta, and then I also run with a headset. So all of that together was $2,800. So when I, just for me to sing into something, it cost me $2,800 just to have that.
Yeah.
Then, of course, you know, you take the clothes and everything, and, you know, I don't want to be mean, because that's my thing, but,
right.
You know, I understand a lot of people really like drag performers, you know, and I get it. You know, there is an entertainment value there, and, you know, they have really nice dresses and gowns and everything. But there's more to the LGBTQ community than just drag performers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't do drag. I just never had a desire to do it.
Yeah.
But I do love singing, you know. And so, you know, my clothes cost a lot too. They may not look like, you know, they may not stand out as much, although some of my stuff is pretty crazy. But it costs money.
Yeah.
You know, it costs, you know, and it costs money to learn to sing. It costs money and time and rehearsals to learn the songs, to get your voice right, to, you know, get the songs keyed up and played in your key. All of that costs money. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of people, a lot of the Pride festivals that reached out to me said, we'd really love to have you, but we already spent our budget on, you know, X and O, and so, but we'd love for you to come down for exposure. And I'm like, you know, try to pay,
especially
a plumber.
if you're bringing your band with you. You know, that's
and, it. Yeah, that's, oh yeah,
that's,
band, that would be ready. Yeah.
Oh, I feel, but like, I mean, I feel like a lot of venues, parties, parades, whatever, don't understand the troubles that bands have to go through with getting their gear, put it, you know, make sure it sounds right, you know, buying the gear, bringing the gear, setting it up the gear, taking down the gear. They have no clue, you know, they just want something for free, and I guess this parade wanted to come for free.
Yeah, yeah. I would bring a band.
Oh yeah.
With me, I'd love to do that.
No problem. Yeah,
but you know, you're talking thousands of dollars to do
Good
that
time.
Because, you know, I wouldn't expect my musicians to play for free. The equipment's got to get there. You know, if it's out of state, we have to either drive or fly. You know, so it's like, it costs money to do this, and you know, somebody says, well, we're gonna, you know, we'll give you exposure. Well, would you go to, you know, if you had a leak in your bathroom, would you call a plumber and say, would you fix it for free? and I'll give you exposure on Facebook. No.
No, they would say, where's the money, man?
Say, no, I went to school to do this. And I feel the exact same way. I'm not downgrading, obviously, any other performers.
No.
Especially drag performers. You know, I don't have any, but I sing live. I don't lip sync. I sing live.
Right.
It costs a lot of money for my schooling and my training. I've spent hours learning songs, working up set lists and everything that I have to be able to sing. You know, I travel with gear just when I travel by myself. You know, if I come in and somebody books me to headline and I run off, you know, a thumb drive for my music, I still have to travel with that. Have to put that show together. And so I think it's funny that singers who are singing don't merit the same kind of appreciation as... Yeah. It's weird.
It is weird. It's all like, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. So it's like, why am I
it
even?
It is. It really is. And, I'd love to, I love doing events like that. I've done 50s and 60s car festivals.
Yeah.
Right. When I've changed my set list to do, more Beach Boys or whatever.
Right, and all the fun stuff.
And I love it. I love any kind of outdoor event. I think, it's a great way to introduce people to your music and everything, but still, I've never done a festival where they didn't have a problem paying singers, except for Pride festivals.
Yeah.
I'm just like, what? And it's obvious, one thing about, the LGBTQ community, there's some amazing singers.
Oh, yeah.
Amazing. So I'm like, why aren't they on stage? Why aren't they performing? Why do you have to throw a dress on to perform?
They're not getting paid, right?
I don't get it.
I always want something for nothing.
So now I'm going to get in trouble with everybody.
That's fine. No. We're not going to get in trouble with anybody. Yeah, but everybody wants something for nothing, and that nothing needs something to come to that venue. And I don't know. It's weird, just like you said. And I don't get
it. Venues make bank. If you have a really... And I'm saying a good one where you're willing to bring in a band, and even if we're going country,
right?
The bar. Look at how many successful bars are in Nashville.
Oh, tons! Oh yeah, yeah.
Hole in the walls.
Because there's like one street I heard that there's nothing but country bars. Bands playing. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's just yeah.
And people come in, and the thing about it is, live music, being entertained. People want that. People want a place to go to forget about everything. I just want to go back. I want to listen to my favorite music. I want to throw down a beer or two or dance. And so venues, can make a lot of money. They can work with local musicians to make it profitable for both of them.
Oh yeah. And then when they get more money, they can hire that top tier band to come in and make them even more money it's all weird. So I got a few more questions for you and then I'll let you go. I love Christmas. Okay. And you do too, I think, because you have Mary Did You Know, Oh Holy Night, and your original song, My Greatest Gift Is You.
Yep.
So my question is to you, when are we getting a Halloween song? We gotta do
Halloween song?
We gotta do Halloween, man. You gotta do it for me and Mr. Sam back there, come on.
I'll do a duet with him.
Yes, do it. Yeah, do it. Yeah, so.
I love Christmas, and I always loved Christmas. And I was really fortunate because my favorite Christmas song of all time is "Oh Holy Night," and to be able to do that song, I went in the studio, and we did everything backwards.
Okay.
Which I loved. I laid my voice down first with no track.
No track at all. And
no track at all. I just sang, I literally sang what came in my head, a cappella.
Wow.
And I said, here's what I want to do vocally, build around it. Mm-hmm. So it was, that arrangement was entirely me. Like the, you know, and so it was really cool because normally a lot of people, when you record a song, the song already exists. You know, the music exists. Music, you have to throw lyrics to it or whatever. And Oh Holy Night obviously is pretty familiar, but there are things I wanted to do to it that I thought it would be easier to just go in the studio and sing it and build that song around it. Then, and so it fell into place so well. I mean, it really did. I recorded my vocals about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and then came back about 6, and there was already some light piano parts that were he had already built around the song.
Right.
And he said, does this feel right to you? I'm like, yes, keep going.
And you do what you do. Yeah.
Yeah, and he just kept bringing me in to say, I want to add this, and how do you feel about that? And I said, this sounds like what was in my head.
Yeah.
So
let me ask you this. So are you going to use this method of recording that from now on, using a cappella first? Because they feel more natural than making music
you
first.
I guess it's so weird because when you're writing songs, for me, I don't always have the melody in my head.
Okay.
So I'm like, I kind of knew, like with I Rise, I knew what the chorus was gonna be, but I didn't know where the lyrics were gonna be. The melody was gonna be for the melody for the, not the chorus, but whatever.
The verse, yeah.
Yeah, the verse. There you go. Yeah, good. Yeah. Good. I didn't really have the verse figured out, but I knew the chorus. Like,
okay.
I knew it.
Okay.
So that was kind of a starting point, and then I just kind of bled everything else into that. But a lot of times I'll be sent, like, just tracks, and somebody will say, you know, you want to build on this and you want to create lyrics for this. And I will try to see if I have lyrics that I've already written that would work for that, mm-hmm. you know, as close as possible. I released a song called Cracked Mirror in March.
Yeah.
And that came to be, that was a fluke song. It's like, I said, I had a friend of mine who was going through a really bad relationship, and I was talking about, well, you know, it may not, sometimes if something shatters, it's not going to come back together.
Right.
And so I was inspired to write that song, and I had had this I had this music that I had already put together and couldn't figure out what it would, because it had to be haunting. And I'm like, I'm going to bridge these two together. And it was like putting a hand in a glove.
Oh,
it's like the
fit.
Music.
Yeah.
And even though one wasn't written for the other,
right?
It just, the marriage between the lyrics and the music that I had already had fit. I mean, it was, that was cool.
That's a very powerful.
Really, really cool.
That's a very powerful statement.
I really didn't have to change much of anything. You know, just a little, maybe a tempo change here or extending, you know. But as far as like the progression and the mood, everything was there. It was like, I wrote this song And then I wrote these lyrics, and
they came together on a date. Right? Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And
exactly. Yes. Yes. I love it. I love it. Yeah. Cause
love it.
Cause it's just like I write. You know, you said you wrote that with less than like 20 minutes. You know.
I did. You know,
because it just came together so well. You're right.
It did. That was crazy. Because that song is really complicated.
Mm-hmm.
Musically, and then I knew I wanted a key change in it, and so there was a lot that I was playing with artistically, but it was like I was on a mission, and I knew I had to accomplish it, and so it took a while to record it.
Okay.
Because I'm a perfectionist in the studio, like, no, that doesn't sound right. I want this. And many times I walked away thinking that was finished. You know, that's a finished take. I'm ready.
So,
and go back in.
So let me ask you this. I've heard a lot of, perfection, doing these interviews. And I always ask the question, how do you know that song is totally done? You know, I mean, does it just speak to you like,
I think that for me, I know what I want to do vocally in a song, and then I guess it's when I listen to, and this is why I drive the studio crazy sometimes, if I listen to a song and I think I wouldn't change anything, or there isn't something I would like to hear in that spot instead, then it's happened.
Yeah.
Like, for me, I Rise is... if I changed anything, it would be, like, maybe just 5%. So
that's
done.
Yeah, it's done. Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So I guess that's the thing, is I play with a song... I always get like a rough copy and listen to it and then think, okay, would I do anything different? Would I go for a different note? Would I go for a different timbre? And I don't want to make it too busy and too messy, but if I feel like it accomplishes the mission that I wrote the song for, then I'm done.
Then you're done.
Like, I have a song coming out in June, the middle of June, in fact, and I'm still tinkering with it.
Oh no!
because
it's gonna be released, man.
Aside, I thought I'm done, and I'm like, I really could do something different. So it's gonna be like a
It's gonna be like a war between
just enough time, but I won't be happy. I don't want to listen to a song and say I wish I had done that.
Right. Yeah.
You know. Yeah. So yeah.
Cool. All right. So I have three more final questions for you, and I do want to thank you for coming on. This has been great so far for me. So, okay, so I got three hard questions, and I hope you still like me at the end, okay? All right, so the first question is, we're going all the way back to Michael when he was 13, 14, 15, or 16 years old, okay? We're looking around your room. Do we have any musical posters on your wall?
Oh, good for you. 13, 14, I've always been drawn to what I consider strong vocalists.
Okay. Yes.
You were talking about Shania Twain, and I liked her music. I didn't ever think she could sing. I know that's terrible. I know.
Oh,
I'm
no,
sorry.
Dude. I might have to edit this out.
I'm sorry.
I
thought her songs were really good.
Yeah.
It's not that she was bad. I don't mean that. That's not, you know, because obviously she can sing.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just I always liked, you know, I like the Carrie Underwoods, the Martina McBride kind of singers, as opposed to just, you know, I didn't necessarily like Madonna a lot, but I was a huge fan of Whitney Houston and Mariah Carey. I liked vocalists.
Yes.
So in my room, you know, I was a big fan and still am, you know, of Journey.
Perfect, yeah.
Okay, you know, like Steve Perry just is amazing to me. I would say Freddie Mercury, vocally.
He's got to be number one. He's got to be number one. I said he's got to be number one in your singer level.
Just because of what he could do and the sheer artistry of his voice. And I love people that don't sound like anybody else. Like, I want someone that if I hear them, I know. Oh, my gosh. That's, you know, Dolly Parton.
Yeah.
She could sing with seven other singers on a track and you'd know her voice.
Pick her up.
Like,
yeah.
You'd say, that's her.
Yeah.
So I was always drawn to those kind of singers. So on my wall was Whitney and Journey and
Freddie.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm trying to think of who else, you know, Aretha.
Patti LaBelle, right? Yeah.
Patti LaBelle. Yeah. Well, yeah, Patti, of course. Yeah. So, you know, she's pretty flawless. So, and she's like 82.
And she's still rocking, right?
Still killing it.
Yeah.
Still killing it.
Yeah. Still making them youngins run for your money, you know?
Yeah.
So. Next question is going to be even harder than that one. Please don't hate me, okay? All right.
Okay.
So we're going to do like a Mount Rushmore of all time, your favorite singers. You got four of them.
Oh, my gosh. Don't do that. Oh! Yeah.
I told you you're gonna hit me at the end.
Oh!
Oh no!
Favorite or best? Like my Mount Rushmore of best may not be my Mount Rushmore of favorite.
Could we do both? Could we do favorite?
Two mountains. Okay.
Yeah, two mountains. I guess. Well, why not? Right? Why not? Let's go with favorite first.
Favorite singers.
Favorite singers.
Wow. I would say favorite singers would be a guy that I saw when I was super young who won Star Search, Sam Harris. Whitney Houston.
It's got to be. Yep. You got two more.
Oh,
I know it's super hard. Yeah.
Wow, this is so hard. A contemporary Christian artist who sang with the Gaithers, Michael English.
Okay.
So I'm throwing names out that a lot of people are not going to know. They're like, who?
But we're all going to look them up right now because I'm always looking for them.
Good.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
And fourth favorite singer. I'd probably say Steve Perry.
Steve, great. Okay. Now let's go to the best singers.
Best singers. Number one, without a doubt, is Dimash.
Okay. It's got to be.
Hands down, best singer I've ever heard, and no, from anywhere. It makes me want to throw my microphone down and never sing again.
I quit, right?
Good.
Yeah.
I quit.
I'm done. Right.
I would have to put Patti LaBelle in that top as well, and she's really close to being one of my absolute, you know, she's also on the list of favorites. Patti LaBelle is amazing. So Dimash, Patti LaBelle, okay, here's going to be one that's really weird and nobody's going to really see it coming. Karen Carpenter.
Okay. From the Carpenters. Good choice.
Another voice that can't ever be replicated, and it was just, and it was the clean.
Yeah,
it was, her sound was so clean and perfect. Last best singers, best.
So we got Dimash, Whitney Houston, Karen Carpenter, and
Well, yeah, we have Dimash, Patti LaBelle.
Patti LaBelle.
As for my best, Dimash, Patti LaBelle, I would say Karen Carpenter, and then... he's right on the tip of my tongue. Who is that? Pavarotti.
Oh, can't guess. Can't forget him. Right? He's like one of the, yeah.
Yeah.
Pavarotti.
So I'm, like I said, I'm so eclectic.
Yeah.
Like my music taste is, the bottom line is I migrate to people that, whose music I want to be entertained, but I want to feel something. Like, I want to feel like I've gotten to know the singer better, or felt what the singer was feeling, or felt what they had gone through when I listened to somebody. You know, obviously there's lots of entertaining songs out there that don't do that, and I still love, you know, but when you listen to someone and you feel like you understand them, where they're coming from, and what they were trying to do in the studio, to me, that's what I'm always drawn to, and that's the kind of singer that I want to be. You know, I want to be entertaining. Because if you're not entertaining, nobody's going to play your stuff.
Right. No one's coming to see you.
No, nobody cares.
Yeah.
So it has to have that element of entertainment. But for me, I really want somebody to go, damn, I know exactly what he was feeling. Yeah. I can hear the passion.
Yeah.
And I think that's the compliment that I get the most when I sing, is that people say, I really feel the passion of your songs, whatever they are. Like the way you bring a song to life, it's so full of emotion. And so that's kind of where I'm at.
Cool. Well, I just love the fact that you like everything just like me, you know, because I think that if you listen to everything, you're more open-minded about trying different stuff.
Everything.
It's great, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, so last question is harder than the question before, and then the question before. Last question. That's all I always ask them, okay? So, is there one artist, album, or song that you can listen to right now, but you can't tell me or anybody else how it makes you feel deep inside your soul?
Okay. I kind of got the first part. I didn't get the last part. The artist?
Album or song that you can listen to right now, but you can't tell me or anybody else how it makes you feel deep inside your soul.
Wow, that's a good question.
It's so emotional, you know. It's like when you hear you, like when I heard You Raised Me Up, I didn't do anything. I just sat there and listened, and it just spoke to me, you know. Is there any song ever that you listened to that you just had to sing?
I have a life theme song.
Okay.
That when I heard it, I said that is my life in 4 minutes and 12 seconds or 4 minutes. That would be Beyond a Shadow of a Doubt. It's from a musical, and it's from Wicked, and it's Defying Gravity.
Perfect. Okay, great. Yeah.
That is the song that hits me the most, and like I said, it's my life theme song.
Yeah.
It really is.
That is a powerful song, and I know so many people who love it. You know, my co-hosts both love Wicked. They both adore that song, you know.
Yeah, it's the lyrics. It's the build. It's the release. Yeah. You know, it's, once again, it's kind of like an anthem song.
Right,
yeah. So I just, that song, that would be it, without a doubt.
Also, it's the way that they sing it too, you know. They have more, like, their voice projects it powerfully at the end of the song too, which is great. Yeah, so cool. Well, thank you for explaining that to us. That's great. That's our last question we have for you today.
Okay, great.
We do love you here on the show, and we honestly want you to come back anytime you want to.
Thank you.
But let's give you a few shout-outs first. So anybody listening to this episode can go to balladbelcher.com and see Michael Cagle right there. He's also on Facebook and Twitter. And are we on TikTok? Because I know because I see you on Instagram too. So you're on Instagram.
I am on Instagram. Okay. I'm not on Twitter.
Okay.
I'm trying to get on TikTok. I can't figure it out.
Okay. I can't either sometimes. So
I can't, and people have said you need to put your music on there so people can make little videos and everything. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
I can't figure it out. But yeah, I'm on. But then I'm also on Spotify.
Okay, Apple Music and everything. Right? These are
Apple Music. Yeah. Oh yeah, all the streaming platforms as well. So, cool. Yeah.
Well, we love you and beg you to come back.
Thank you so much. I really do appreciate
it. I want you to make me a Halloween song for me and
you
Sam.
You know what? I'm gonna try.
I love Halloween, dude. I have Halloween. It's like it for me.
I love Halloween.
Oh yeah. I can see you got some Godzillas back there, Sam.
Oh yeah, I'm a huge Godzilla fan. Yeah. I have tons.
Yeah. But I still haven't watched -1 yet, so I might watch that fight. I said I have not seen -1 yet.
You have to see it.
Okay.
It's brilliant.
I'm going to see it. Yeah, because it's on Netflix, you know, so.
Yeah.
No excuse, James has to watch it, right? Yes. Yes. So, all right. So, yeah, well, we do love you again, and thank you for coming on. And, all right, so everybody listening, always remember, when words fail, music speaks. Bye, guys.
Yes, it does.